When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
One, you do a cleanse or two. Two, a serum just for you. Three, honey, it's plain to see Natch-Butte's the only pot for me. And four, apply your favorite cream. Five, don't forget your sunscreen. If ever I believe skincare is done, then I'll stop back at one. Yeah.
Did you recognize the song?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm just checking. I never know.
I'm so impressed that was your first take. Your voice sounded incredible.
Well, thank you. Listen, everybody knows I only do one take. There's only been maybe three times in all of the natural history of me doing more than one take, because this is a pure raw experience between me and all the honeys. But anyway, now don't say anything because I'm going to do your intro. Welcome everybody to Natribute. Welcome to Natribute. You know, I'm going to be honest, like, I'm recording this during a very tense day in America, but we can strip all that away and remember that we are beautiful, we are unique, we deserve adornment, attention, cream, and that is what Natribute is all about. So welcome to Natribute. I am your host, Jackie J, the beauty talk shock jock, your queen of creams, the host of the most serums, the freshest fringe on the West Coast, even though my bangs are fully grown out. But I kind of want to get them again, and that is what happens when you grow up bangs. You just can never decide. I'm also your kooky southern aunt and your favorite over 30 niche influencer. Hello, welcome to Natch Butte. I am very excited about my guest today. I'm going to be honest, she slid into my DMs. She slid right into those DMs, and I said, oh, hi. And she said, I'm a honey. And she said, I have a podcast, and I want to come on Natch Butte. And I said, well, or no, you asked me to come. She asked me to come on her podcast. I said, no. You're coming on Natribute, okay? Because we appreciate when you take the initiative. That is what we do as women. We are resilient and we work hard and we get the word out. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest, okay? My guest today is a Palestinian-American skincare, beauty, and fashion queen, okay? She is also like a lifestyle influencer. She cooks. She shops. She has fab jewelry. She's got nails that look great. I already saw them on the Zoom. They're looking good. She has coats. She has accessories. She can turn a look, okay? She's also the host of Arab American Psycho, her podcast where she just pretty much covers everything and has lovely chats. And most importantly, she is a devoted honey. And that's really exciting to me because this is where I get to do a little research and a little customer feedback. And I love that. But we have so much to discuss. Please welcome my gorgeous guest, Noor Akaldi. Yes,
hi.
Noor. Miss Noor, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I love that intro so much.
Well, you know what? Most people say that, and it's gotten to the point now where if they don't say that, I'm almost like shocked. I'm like, did you not appreciate that intro?
How dare you?
How dare you, honestly? Yeah. But thank you for saying that. Welcome to Natribute. I know you're a honey, and I'm so grateful. You even said you've been listening since the very beginning?
I have indeed. I started listening from the very beginning, and just the fact that, like, because here's the thing, you know, you start a podcast and then sometimes you're just kind of like, eh, not for me.
Yes.
Fucking love it. Every episode, I'm like, Jackie, why are you just the best podcaster ever? I'll say it.
I was thinking because I just switched networks and I had to go back and mark all my old, where my ads are going to go. So mm-hmm. I pretty much was listening to almost every episode of Natribute, like just little snippets.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, the journey of this show, like, I was a completely different person when I started an attribute. Like, I'm like, the people that are tuning in at the beginning now, oh my God, they have no clue what's coming, you know? Like, so it's exciting, and I'm very grateful. The honeys that have been here since the beginning have really carried the show, and they're the reason I make a living. So, like, Nor, thank you, and thank you to all the honeys listening. Welcome to Attribute.
It's honestly such a pleasure. I'm honored.
Well, we have so much to discuss. As you know, I'm going to ask you the intro questions.
I'm ready.
The first one is, what type of skin do you have?
I think I have pretty normal skin, honestly. I don't know. Like,
what a refreshing answer.
I don't really get dry. I mean, yeah. I can get a little shiny, but I wouldn't even necessarily say it's oily. It's probably just like the copious amounts of like moisturizer and oils I'm dousing my face with. So yeah. I would say pretty normal.
Fair. And again, refreshing, because you live in Florida. A lot of the other women I interview, you know, most of them are in California, and they're like, mm-hmm. I have combo. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, it's nice to hear another answer.
Yeah.
The next question is my new question, which is, what is the first beauty product that you ever bought or used?
Oh, I'm like, I remember this perfectly.
Please take us back.
I didn't really get into makeup until I was about 20 years old. Like, I'd never even, not even a lick of makeup on my face.
Yeah.
And there was a MAC Lady Gaga collaboration. I think it was the very first one she did. Mm-hmm. And MAC was so hot. I mean, everyone loved MAC back then.
Oh, yeah.
This is like 10 years ago. And I went to a MAC counter and I got the Lady Gaga lipstick. And I mean, I look back at photos and I'm like, why were you wearing that lipstick with no other makeup on? I looked like a crazy person, just like bare face, nothing. And then just this baby pink lipstick. But that was the first makeup product I ever used in my life.
You know what? That's a moment, though. That is such a moment. Like, I don't have anything but a pink lip, a pale lip. Like, I'm living my life and I'm authentically me. Like, you know what, everybody, do you. I feel like I've seen, like, ladies at the grocery store with nothing but, like, a really smeared red lip.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, that was basically she's just getting through the day.
It wasn't a look that I would ever really go back to.
Yeah.
But it was a starting point, and I realized, hey, listen, maybe don't do that anymore because you look like a dumb bitch. You know,
we all have our own look, but I don't think anybody wants to look like a dumb bitch.
No,
I think we can all agree.
It wasn't the look then. It's not the look now. I mean, maybe some people could pull it off. I just look back at photos and I was like, who allowed this? Like, why did no one say anything to me? I started texting my sisters like, do you hate me? Like, why would you allow this to happen and not even, maybe you even said it looked good. Like, you know, like you encouraged
it. Encouraging this.
Horrible, awful.
Who knows? I mean, you know, we were all on our own journeys.
Right, right.
That's what Attribute's all about.
And it has been a journey, and it's so interesting that you brought it up about how you feel like you were listening back and you've grown, because you really have grown and evolved, but I still feel like you're very much so yourself, which I don't know. I love that. I love watching people grow, and then not in a way where it's like, I'm a whole different person. I've let go of everything. It's like just kind of adding and building on what you've already been working on for as long as you've been working on it.
Yes. And honestly, like, getting my eyebrows bladed and my lips done, that turned the game for me.
Mm-hmm.
That turned the game for me. And in 2017, when I started Attribute, I didn't have brows or a lip.
And that's the thing. It's like finding those things about yourself that you know will make you feel better. And then, you know, going for it. Like, I mean, I genuinely stopped doing my eyebrows like, I don't know, like 4 years ago. Like, I don't even tweeze a single hair.
And, hell yeah.
And I was like, this is the look that I like. And it feels good. And I feel like myself. And it doesn't hurt that it requires me to do nothing. You know?
I love that.
Yeah.
I want to talk more about that. But first, tell us your favorite thing about yourself.
I think I'm really funny.
I've already laughed at you many times, and I'm a jaded asshole who thinks nobody's funny, so that's definitely true.
I make people laugh, and it's something that brings me joy, making other people laugh, especially, you know, my mom, who's like a super serious, stern lady. If I can make her laugh, I feel like accomplished. Like, I don't need to do another thing for the rest of the day. I made my mom laugh.
I love winning over people who seem to not be amused by me.
Mm-hmm.
I keep
like
on pressing.
Monkey.
Keep
I'm like
on
a little
pressing.
Monkey. Yeah.
Yes. I need to get your mom on here. Let's see
she won't even fucking come on my podcast. My mom is literally, she's just like, don't post pictures of me on Instagram. I'm like, first of all, relax. I didn't post any pictures of you.
Right.
Why are you so, not obsessed with you? But she really is like not a fan of anything being put on the internet. She's like one of those moms who's just like, the internet is a scary place. And I'm like, it's also cool, mom. So.
Well, just for my own personal records, I would like to see a photo of her. So maybe just like send me one later just so I know. Because I have a feeling we're working with something really good. I have a feeling she knows all about the brows and the skincare.
She's a cutie, but I'll tell you, one of the main reasons I think I probably never wore makeup is I've never seen my mom wear makeup in my life.
Yeah.
I've never, I think my dad told me on their wedding, he suspects that she might have been wearing eyeliner. My mom is a Natch Beaut in the truest sense where she's...
We love.
But she wears sunscreen. I got her to wear sunscreen, which I felt very proud of. And she loves a natural deodorant. Those are her beauty product favorites.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we love a pure Natch Beaut.
Yeah, yeah.
What's your mom's name?
Her name is Fidyal, which I think is like of Turkish origin.
Well, you know what? She's a Natch Beaut and we love. Shout out to the Natch moms.
My mom's going to be like, how dare you stop talking about me on Natch Beaut?
Yeah. Don't Google my name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Luckily, we all, you know, we're going to respect her privacy. Okay, Norm. The first thing I want to ask you about is when we click on your Instagram, I mean, you're turning the look. So, like, it's fair to say you're a fashion queen. Your account is a fashion-driven account. And specifically, would you call it modest fashion? Is that what you would call sort of your looks?
So, I wouldn't necessarily say my style would be categorized as modest fashion when you really... Because here's the thing, it's very tricky. The, you know, I'm a visibly Muslim woman. I wear a headscarf and it is a sign of modesty. So you are correct in that. However, the way that I personally choose to dress, a lot of people would not consider to be modest. And so for that reason, to avoid backlash onto myself, I really refrain from referring to my style as modest because... Mm-hmm. You know, people are very critical on the internet of others. And I think especially, you know, if you're a part of a group of people who, you know, the Muslim community is more conservative. Mm-hmm. So you'll catch me wearing super tight pants and a tight shirt and I feel comfortable in it and I feel great in it. But, you know, some people can look at that and say, well, this is not what modesty is.
Right.
I really kind of disagree with that because I think modesty is whatever you want it to be. And whatever makes you feel modest is what modesty should be. And I don't think the definition is just this, you know, kind of one type of thing and anything else can't fit into that. I think that modesty isn't even so much about your external appearance as much as it's about, you know, how you carry yourself and how you speak to others and you know, your behavior. I think that modesty comes out in so many different ways. But I am a Muslim woman who wears a hijab. So you could say I'm a modest fashion girl, but I just nix that out for you know, my own sanity and just say, I like fashion.
I love that. I think that's fucking dope. And I agree with you. If you label yourself as something and then you do anything that anyone considers out of that, you get, you know, the feedback, take it from me. So I think that's really cool. When did you realize you were fashionable? Or when did you become fashionable? Did you always have an interest in clothes and looks? Or when did that happen?
I have always been really into fashion for as long as I can remember. I mean, I would buy Teen Vogue and all those magazines. I think there was like a Teen L also, or like L Girl or something like that when I was like 10 years old. And I would cut out pictures of Kate Moss and put them up on my wall. And I just loved Marc Jacobs and I loved all these designers and I loved everything about the fashion world. And definitely when I was younger, it felt like something that was completely out of reach for me. Like, you know, there was no place for me in it. There was no one who looked even remotely the way I do. And so it was more so this like dream world that I like fantasized about. And then, you know, from there, I just kind of I've always experimented with my style. Definitely went through a pretty hardcore emo punk girl phase. Lots of safety pins and braces on my pants.
Yeah, baby.
And I don't regret it. I think I look cool. I still think I looked cool.
I want to see that. Have you ever TBT'd any of those?
I have not, mainly because my scarf style, terrible. terrible. It was horrible. I like would wear my scarf in a way where it was basically engulfing my face. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I
think that's emo.
It was emo, but it did look like someone was squishing my face in every photo.
You look like Kenny from South Park.
I look like Kenny from South Park. And so I regret it now, but when I was younger, I like got rid of all of those photos because I was like, I don't want to fucking look like Kenny from South Park. Like that's not the vibe I was going for. I thought I looked like a cool little emo straight edge girl, even though I really, now that I think about it, I'm like, it's hilarious that I used to tell people I was straight edge. Like, you're not straight edge, Nora. You're just a 14-year-old Muslim girl living under, you know, a Muslim, like you're not straight edge. Like you have
you're
no access.
You're just a virgin who can't drive.
Yeah. You literally don't have access to drugs. Like you can't be straight edge if it's not even an option for you. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, I'm crying.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I've always really loved fashion, and it's like I just never really let my mom dress me. I was very particular. I was always telling my older sisters what they should wear, and I was very, very into it.
I think that's super cool. Oh man, you had me laughing. I'm crying. That's so funny.
I feel accomplished. I'm like, I made Jackie cry of laughter.
Oh man, there have not been many guests that have made me cry laughing, but that was good. That was good. And I need to see one of those. So you said you burned them all. Maybe there's one.
I think that there's probably one. And actually, I'm sure of it. I think I'm wearing like a Paul Frank hoodie. Do you remember Paul Frank?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. I was
the monkey, right?
Yeah, the monkey, the Paul Frank hoodie. That I don't know. I mean, I was in Florida when I wore it, so I was just like, well, you have no business wearing this. You were definitely sweating. And, you know,
but sweating is emo.
My
sweat for your art.
Sweating
is
emo.
Anything that's
reminiscent of crying emo.
I mean, pretty much. Oh my God. That's so funny. Oh, so. Oh man. Okay. So how would you say, like, because you still rock, like, Lyrica Matoshi dresses. Like, you still wear clothes, you know, that everyone wears.
Right, but you
put your spin on it, which I find super cool. So I guess, I don't know exactly what I'm asking. How does your hijab, your beliefs factor into, like, your participation in fashion?
Okay. I first want to say, because I want to make sure that you know I'm not sensitive about it. So don't feel like you need to like be careful with your words, because I don't take any offense at all, because I think, you know, it's not something that everyone knows about. So it's totally normal to kind of not really be familiar with it. And I think that when it comes to wearing a hijab, it is such a personal thing. So I don't want to speak on behalf, obviously, of all, you know, women who wear a hijab. But for me, it's never really been, I think that life is kind of all about perspective, right? And I think that when I decided to wear a hijab, I viewed it almost in a way where I really romanticized it as a kid. And I saw the way my mom wore a hijab, and I thought she looked so beautiful and confident and amazing. And I have four older sisters, two of which wear a hijab, two of which don't. And I just remember one of my older sisters who wore a hijab, like also really looking up to her and really just thinking, that's so beautiful. I want to look like that. And I really looked up to them. And, you know, I told my mom I want to wear a hijab, she was like, hey, you're like 11, you know, maybe not the time for you to be making life altering decisions, but I'm stubborn. I've always had lots of opinions about how I dress. And I was like, no, I want to do this. And so I think something that really kind of helped me on my, I guess, hijab journey is that I never had any kind of external pressure. And then I also never really put pressure on myself. So when I first started wearing a hijab, I would wear it with like t-shirts and capris, and I would wear a headscarf, and it looked hilarious. But you know, hey, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. But it was kind of like, I eased myself into it in a way where it never really felt like this burden. And so when I look at styling outfits and stuff, if I see something and it's like a crop top, it's like, okay, I choose to cover my body, and I can't really just wear a crop top. How can I wear this? And then for me, I feel like it's actually enhanced my style, because when it comes to layering, it really just makes the look just that much more unique. Whereas if I just, which, hey, if you want to just wear a crop top, that's cute too. But when you wear a little crop top over like a oversized button down, and then it just cinches in, and then you could wear it with like a more fitted bottom and then the accessories and stuff. Like, I've always found that by adding these additional layers and doing what I need to do to cover myself in the way that I feel comfortable, it's only ever really amplified it. So when I walk into a store, if there's something that I feel like I can't, I use the word hijabify. It's not a real word, made mm-hmm. it up. If I feel like I can't hijabify it, then I don't really want to wear it. But for the most part, I mean, I can take any piece and I can make it work because I'm not, again, it's all about your perspective. If you look at something and be like, well, it's not going to look as good on me if I just wore it like this. And I think it's more so just feeling comfortable with your decision and, you know, not letting it feel like it's going to hold you back in any way really changes the way you view things. And that's just always been my kind of view of it. It's just this additional thing that I feel like enhances me.
That is so cool and the best answer ever.
Thank you.
And you had Lyrica Matoshi on your podcast, right?
I did. She is an angel. Her mother is actually wears a hijab as well. Mm-hmm. So when she reached out to me about making that strawberry dress for me, she was very thoughtful. She was like, I'm going to make it long so that you don't need to worry about the bottom. And she was super sweet. And she actually recently just sent me one of her tops. And
that picture today, girl. You looking good, honey.
Thank you. The light was excellent. but yeah, it was a really low cleavage top. And she was like, how can you wear this? And so her and I were DMing back and forth. She was like, well, what if I make you a top that you can wear underneath it? And so she just made me a top that I could wear underneath it based off of another top that I have, not in that exact color, but I was like, oh, I'll probably wear the top like this underneath it. And she's like, how about I do it you better and make it out of the same fabric so it looks more cohesive? And genuinely, I literally, my heart filled with joy just the fact that she's so willing to be flexible and understanding, and it's people like that and situations like that, that genuinely, like I'm telling you, just give me so much fucking faith in humanity and just like hope that people will be more kind and accept. Cause like, I was like, that's so, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do this thing for me. And she just offered it to me. And I was like, that is a good person. Like that is a sweet thing to do.
That's also like so badass that you have designers custom making pieces for you, and especially like such a cool designer as, you know, Lyrica Matoshi. I've been following that account for years.
Yeah.
And I keep being like, someday I'll have enough money to buy that dress. And I could buy it, but I'm just like, that's a lot of money. And to me, it's like a showpiece.
Yeah. Yeah. She's an angel. She is one of the maybe nicest people I've ever spoken to. She's so sweet, and all of her pieces are handmade, and it's all of her employees are women, and she just is very into empowering women and giving them fair wages and making sure that they're living a comfortable life because they're hand making her clothing.
Yeah,
which
it's
is
so
amazing,
beautiful, and delicate and special. And I really want her Hardy dress. With
it's
the hearts.
So pretty.
Well, I'm getting married on Valentine's Day.
You are?
Yeah. And I already have a wedding dress, which you'll love because it's sleeves, honey.
Yeah.
We're going for like winter romance,
love
Jewish
that.
Winter romance. And I really want that dress for my rehearsal dinner, even though we're literally eloping and there's like four people. But it's for me.
It's for you. And I promise you're going to feel amazing in it. And that's the thing. When you feel amazing in something, who the fuck cares if anyone else sees it? Because
yes.
You feel.
Well, honey, don't think there won't be a gram.
Oh, there better be.
Don't think there won't be a gram.
I want to see the pictures of your wedding dress so badly.
I'll send you some.
Yes.
But,
thank you.
But I'm, I was like, maybe she's going to have a Black Friday sale. She deserves every penny. I have a lot of friends of mine have the strawberry dress. It's very iconic, as you know.
It's so iconic. And
yeah.
And I didn't realize how iconic it was until I got it.
Yeah.
And then people were going fucking crazy on Twitter and like reposting it and like losing their minds over it. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm really glad I wore that dress.
Yes, it is a
lots of engagement
perfect.
On that picture.
Oh, well, honey, maybe the heart dress will do the same
for the
Jackster.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lyrica Matoshi dresses, they will get you the likes and the saves.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know. I'll definitely keep that in mind when I hover over the buy button, which I do every few days. so we'll see. Be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about, I know we already said that it's not necessarily modest fashion, but
right.
I do find it interesting. You know, I'm converting to Judaism. I don't know if you knew that.
I did know
and,
that. It's very
and
cool.
I'm converting to Reform Judaism, which doesn't have any sort of rules about clothing or things.
Okay.
But, you know, Hasidic women and, you know, Orthodox women, they have a lot of I don't know, guidelines.
They have guidelines, yeah.
Yes, about, like, not wearing pants, covering their hair, things like that. So I have been, like, reading about a lot of it. So, and I follow a lot of, like, Jewish TikTok fashion girls, and I find it really fascinating.
They're really cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. I mean, I love how you said it enhances your looks, and I completely agree.
It does, and I feel like it enhances my looks, and also I feel as though it's such a big part of my identity, not in the way where I'm like, you know, it's that's my only identity. I think that I'm so many other things, but it is a part of my identity that empowers me and just makes me feel really confident about myself. And that's a discussion that I feel like I'm having a lot, especially with younger Muslim women, because not everyone has that experience. And, and I feel really grateful that I had parents who were super cool and just kind of like, do what you want to do. And there was no pressure and there was no kind of, anyone forcing me to do anything. And that's definitely a luxury, and not everyone has that option. So I think that that's why I am able to kind of have this opinion of it.
Empowerment.
Yeah. And I, to me, the point of a hijab is to be empowering. So if it's not empowering, what the fuck are you doing? You know what I mean? Like you nothing feels empowering about doing something because you don't want to piss off someone off. That doesn't feel empowering. That just feels like, why are you doing that? So I definitely, you know, I've thought before, because I think it's totally normal for people to just kind of question things like, if I ever decided to take my hijab off, like, what would that be like? And I'm like, I don't see it happening. But, you know, people grow and they evolve and they change. And I know women who've worn it and taken it off and put it back on again. And I think it really is just kind of a journey of identity. And I think that, you know, if I ever did get to a point where I'm like, this doesn't feel like me anymore, I wouldn't do it.
Because it's a journey of discovery, sweetie.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous.
Yeah. I love it.
Hell yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hell yeah.
You love an accessory, fair to say?
I do.
Let's say you had to pick one and one only for the rest of your life. What would you pick? Would you pick bags, sunglasses, scarves? I'm not counting your hijab. I just mean like...
Okay. An accessory,
like,
scarf.
And, or any. I probably said there's probably a bunch I didn't name. But what's your favorite accessory to rock?
So like if, let's say hypothetically, I pick a bag, am I barefoot? No shoes?
You can wear shoes.
Okay, but like I have to pick like one singular item from like my wardrobe.
Yes.
Oh shit. What would it probably have to be? Sunglasses.
Yeah, you have sunglasses, hunty. I see them on your account.
I love sunglasses. I live in Florida. The sun is basically in my face every day. We are directly on the equator. I live in the equator. And so I wear sunglasses out of functionality, but also I do think that they are that accessory that can really change the way your outfit looks. And I have these Celine sunglasses that I've had for like 7 years. And I think they're called the Celine Radical sunglasses. I don't know. Apparently Kris Jenner has them.
Okay. She doesn't play around.
Which I don't know how I feel about that. I'll admit it. I'm like, she's like, could be my mother. So I don't know how I feel about that.
Hey, but you know what? Classic style never goes out.
True.
It's for all ages.
True. That's very true. And I think that she does wear really cool stuff. But yeah, there are these sunglasses. And if I could only have one pair, it would be that pair.
Are you on TikTok?
I am on TikTok.
You know that Gucci model? The Gucci model thing?
Yes.
Like, it reminds me of you. It's like
it's
sunglasses.
So funny.
Yeah, it's so good.
I also, like, so many of those people who ended up doing that TikTok, I think Gucci ended up reaching out to them and sending them clothes, which is also
oh man,
so fucking cool.
Yeah. If you haven't done that sound, you need to do it.
My TikToks are so chaotic. Like, literally, the energy in my TikToks is like chaos, hostility, but also a little bit of happiness.
I can't figure out how to do it. I'm telling you, if you want to feel old as shit, get on TikTok. It is the most unuser-friendly app. I don't know. I'm like, this is how my mom feels trying to connect her Bluetooth. I'm like, now I understand because I can't figure it out.
I mean, it's definitely different than any app I've ever used. But just give yourself the first TikTok I made, I will say, took me way too long. Absolutely way too long. And then after that, I'm like, oh, this is not as I think that we're just so used to being apps being a certain way, and it's such a different platform. And the editing, I will say, I think they need to make a few tweaks to it.
Yeah.
Because it's not as user-friendly as it can be. And there are also some things they could do just to just make the user experience. TikTok, right. Call me.
But I think it's part of feedback. It. The reason they keep it like that is like to keep the kids on it.
You think they're ageists?
They're TikTok trying to edge us out. That's what I think. And you know what? Makes sense. I applaud them. I think it's like sort of a way to keep us out, a gatekeeping system. Right.
They're gatekeeping.
Yeah. You know what? Everyone has their right. Nor do you know, because you're a fashion queen and you were talking about Kris Jenner, you know those little clutches she has that are like bedazzled?
Are they like the weird bird ones?
Yeah, she's got like, yeah, like a little piece of candy.
Yeah.
I want one of those. They're expensive as shit.
I know that they're expensive as shit, but like what would you use it for?
I mean, I would just hold it and be like, look how fucking cool I look. Hold on.
See, here's the thing. I love fashion, but I also love being comfortable as I can be and functional. And I do have some tiny bags, but I still need it to fit my phone, my wallet, lip balm, and maybe my sunglasses if I'm lucky.
I mean, these don't hold anything.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, I don't even know if you could fit a phone in there.
Oh, shit. These are expensive as shit.
Yeah.
Judith Lieber.
Yeah. Judith Lieber.
This one is $6,000.
Are you looking at the burger one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's disturbing. I'm scared. And it's on pre-order, too.
Judith Lieber takeout box, $5,000.
Listen, if you can
it's so cute, though.
If you can buy these.
Yeah.
That's
Kris Jenner has literally like 50 of them in her closet. If y'all go on YouTube and type in Kris Jenner closet tour, you'll see them.
Oh my God, there's like a football one.
Look
there's
at the lipstick.
There's a little piglet. Oh, that's cute. The lipstick.
I mean, listen, I'm just manifesting. I'm going to get my Lyrica dress and I'm going to get my Judith Lieber clutch. I'm just manifesting that.
Speak it into existence. It'll happen.
I mean, you know, I don't want 50 of them.
Yeah, right. You're being reasonable about it. You just want to manifest like one of each.
I want one of each and I want to live my best life. I also want to get a poodle next year. Like, these are the things that I want.
Chooch is going to have a friend.
Yeah, I hope. You know, we want to get her a little poodle sister.
That would be so cute.
And I want 2 chickens. I have names picked out.
You should get chickens. I'll tell you. I had pet chickens for 4 years. Yeah. Chickens are the best pets, hands down. I'll say it straight to my cat's face.
Yeah,
chickens,
I saw your cat earlier, by the way. It came across you, and it was so great.
I have 2 of them. They're lurking. One of them is like literally under like 7 blankets right now, being really dramatic. But chickens are great pets. I had a chicken growing up that was, I lived in Malaysia for like 4 years when I was a kid because we moved there for my mom's job. And they have these like outdoor markets. They're called night markets. And they sell these baby chicks that are like dyed different colors, which is super fucked up for like a million different reasons.
We do that here too. So, you know.
But I'm 8 years old, right? I see a little pink chicken or baby chick. And I'm like, Baba, like, I want that chick. So he's like thinking like, this is going to die in like 2 days. Like, this is like a non-committal pet. Like,
it's like the goldfish at the state fair.
Let's get her a chick. My sister got a blue one. Hers unfortunately passed. I don't even think it survived a week. Mine lived. And when it was 2.5 years old, I heard a cock-a-doodle-doo outside. And he actually turned out to be a rooster. And he was, when he was fully grown, he was completely white and the tips of his feathers were pink. I do have pictures of him at my parents' house. I'll send you. It's actually very, I feel like you would appreciate his look because he was fully white and the tips of his feathers were pink. And he would sit by my window and he would let me paint his nails and I would paint his nails. And he would run to the car when I would come home. Like, I can't even make this up. Like, he was my pet. Like, he loved me. He would let me cradle him and he would like nuzzle my head. very weird. I got two other chickens and a rooster after that because then I decided to turn into a little mini farmer child.
Yeah.
And they were not as affectionate as
him. A little emo farmer child.
I was a little emo farmer child. I was a very weird kid, honestly. I'm surprised my parents didn't have more questions. But I got these other chickens and roosters and they were fine, but like he was just so special and he did tragically die at the age of 3. He got into a fight with my neighbor's rooster, a cockfight, I guess is what you would call it. And he got pretty fucked up. So my dad slaughtered him and I came home from school and he was in the fridge. And I did not eat chicken for 2 months.
Wow, what a journey. That had a beginning, middle, and end. I mean, damn.
The life and death of my chicken.
Yeah, I mean, damn. Okay, that was a lot. I'm happy to hear that chickens are like sentient beings.
They really
are. I feel like a lot of people kind of discard their feelings because they are very stupid, from what I've noticed.
Yeah.
But listen, chickens have feelings too, everybody.
They do.
If there's one thing to take from this episode.
Chickens have feelings. Like, the chicken used to run to me when I'd come home from school to greet me. Like, I mean.
And the fact that you painted his nails.
He would sit perfectly right by my window because he wasn't allowed in the house.
Yeah.
So I would, like, paint his nails through the window and he would sleep right by my window. Like, he was my buddy. He was my buddy.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is a Lifetime movie in the making. That's
truly,
all I know.
The girl and her chicken.
Let's talk skincare, Nora,
yes.
Because I know you love skincare.
I do.
I want to know, like, let's just go with, like, what's your favorite things of the now? What are you rocking right now that are, like, you're really into?
I love retinol, and I've tried a lot of retinols.
Yeah.
And I bought myself a Shani Darden Retinol Reform.
Everybody fucking loves that. I just had on the people who invented it.
Holy shit, it is the best thing I have ever put on my face. Let me tell you something. I get sent a lot of skincare. I don't really buy skincare. I have the luxury of never really buying it. And I saw it and I was on the hunt for a new retinol and I wasn't really happy with any of the ones I had. So I bought it. I repurchased it because it was so good. And I have like 7 retinols sitting in my cupboard right now that I could easily, but it's so good. And I think the reason I like it is because it's retinol and lactic acid and my skin really loves lactic acid. So I think the combination of the two, it just really does something.
Okay. I have to get that. I've been wanting to get it for like a year because when Darcy Carden came on, she was going on and on about it. And I'm like you, I'm like, I don't buy anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm buying it. I'm going to find the Black Friday deal and I'm getting it.
I just bought it from the Sephora sale. So I got it 20% off. So I was like, I might as well just buy another bottle of it. And then I know on her website, she sometimes even does little promos and stuff and, one of my favorite Jackie sayings is vote with your wallet. I've quoted you. I've said, Jackie Johnson says, vote with your wallet. She's a Black female owned business. I want to support her.
We love. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm getting that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
I really love skincare. I'm trying to think of another star product that I've used recently that I'm like, wow, I really love this. The Tata Harper Resurfacing Mask. If I could only have one mask, it would be that mask.
Is like, that the one in the... I mean, they're all green.
Yeah.
All of her products.
It goes on completely clear.
When Lauren Adams was on First Time Ever, that was her top favorite mask.
It's a good one.
Okay.
I resisted. Again, it was one of those things that I was like... this is kind of expensive and I feel like there are other chemical exfoliating masks that, you know, they do a good job. But the thing that I like about the Tata Harper one is that it's also very gentle. It doesn't feel abrasive. I don't feel like it's like ripping my skin off. And, you know, as I'm getting older, I'm 31, I really realize that I want to baby my skin. Like I want to nourish my skin and put things on it that don't leave it looking inflamed. Cause like, that's not great. Like you're creating trauma on your skin and your skin barrier is all fucked up. And then you're like, then you're more susceptible to sun damage. And it's just like a spiral of fucking just skincare terror.
You're so right about that. I feel like I used to really dig into my face and like really put it through some shit.
Yeah.
But now that I'm older, I'm like, no, you're my sweet baby. You're my angel.
Yep. Lots of patting gently, lots of little massaging, lots of essences that I'm putting on, lots of like really just silky feeling products. Like that's a thing. I think that skincare is something that I love, but it's also something that I think can be a way of decompressing. And so I want everything to just feel really good. You know what I mean? Like at the end of the night, I want to really take that time to, whether it's like 2 minutes or 5 minutes, to just apply my creams and my serums and feel really good while I do it. And I think having good products that work and aren't burning can contribute to that kind of whole vibe.
Oh, you're preaching to the choir, sister.
Oh, yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You also do love makeup, though, right?
I do.
So tell us a couple faves in that category.
So I do love makeup, but I am the girl who wears makeup and no one can tell. That's my look. I don't like looking like I'm wearing makeup.
Right. You don't like a glam moment. You like a natch.
I like a really natural look. I like a really easy look. I want to look like myself. I want more than anything. I just want to make sure I look like myself. Just a little, again, enhanced. Just an enhanced version of myself. There is a foundation stick by Westman Atelier, and it is maybe the best thing I've ever put on my face. And I was hesitant to talk about it for the longest time because their shade range was very limited. However, they have extended that range.
Wonderful.
So now I will scream it from the rooftops. It's amazing. And like when you think foundation stick, I think you think cakey, thick, heavy, super light, super buildable, but like can go on very lightly, feels like nothing on your skin. It's clean for whatever that's worth.
I mean, it
really, the packaging feels beautiful. It's more, I think it's like probably like $60 if I had to like ballpark it, but it's a beautiful product. I can double it up and use it as an under eye concealer if I want. I feel like it's a very multi-purpose product and you just kind of get the look you want from it. And it's just this really beautiful formula that looks, it's not super dewy where it looks super greasy. It's not matte. It's that really skin-like kind of look.
Well, shit, you're a really good salesman. I want all three of these products.
I feel very passionately about the things I like.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, if I like something,
but that's what a good influencer is.
I will never talk about something that I don't like. Unless I really fucking hate it, then I'll say I hate it. But I try not to bash brands if I can because I feel bad for them. It's mean. But like if I don't like a product and it does something terrible, I'll tell people. But if I love a product, like you can know that I love it because like I try a lot of things. And there are other great face products that I've used. Like I love the Kosas Tinted Face Oil. Mm-hmm. That's a really good one. The only reason I wouldn't say that's my favorite is because the application of it is a little bit more messy. The Westman Atelier requires less cleanup. I'm lazy. You know, it's a stick. Just put it straight on. Super easy. Don't need to get my hands in it. And I don't need to powder, which is great. So I really love that foundation stick a lot. I think it's called the Skin Vital or Vital Skin or something like that.
Well, I'll put it on Ashby.com. Everybody will find it there.
Yeah.
That's really exciting. Okay. I noticed on your Instagram story yesterday that you were up on the new shit. I've been seeing this product all over Instagram. The Do skin reusable eye patches?
Jackie.
Do I need to get them?
You 1,000% need to get them.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'll say it. Maybe I'm a little biased. Two of my friends are co-founders of the brand. And I love these women. I think they're so intelligent. I think they're amazing. And again, I love supporting female-owned brands in general. But genuinely, it is one of the coolest skincare things I've ever used. And this wasn't like a something that they just decided, oh, let me make it. Like this has been years in the making. They sent me prototypes before to try out because they know how critical I am of skincare.
Yes.
And this under eye patch is so fucking cool. It's a reusable under eye patch.
What a great idea because we waste so many little fucking pieces of paper on it.
Yes. It comes in a metal tin. you get these two little silicone eye patches that are super fucking cute and very like Instagrammable. You put any cream you want, any serum you want. Literally, you could put an eye cream, you could put a face cream, you could put a face serum, you could put anything you want, and then you just apply it right on top of it. They do recommend that you dampen your skin. I haven't found that that makes a difference for me personally, so I don't know. But and then when you're done, you rinse them and you put them back in the tin, and I keep mine in the fridge so they're nice and cool when I put them on.
What a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Are you friends with Charlotte?
I am friends with Charlotte. She's been on my podcast too. I love her. She's so smart. She is like the encyclopedia of skincare. She is literally...
I'm obsessed with her. She's completely changed my skin regimen.
She is a wealth of knowledge, okay? If you want to really make sure that the products you're using are not bullshit, just talk to her. Like, she is so smart. She knows every ingredient.
Her skin looks so good.
Her skin is in person, looks exactly like that. Like, I want to confirm she has like an ethereal glow around her because her skin is just perfection.
Okay, just in case people don't know, Charlotte Parler is her Instagram.
And she's on TikTok too.
Yes. And I need her on Natribute. I mean, like,
you do. I'm shocked that you haven't.
I have documents pulled up where I have typed straight from her Instagrams.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I completely redid my routine probably a month or two ago from all of her stuff.
She knows what she's talking about.
And me and Lauren Adams text about her all day long. And I need those damn patches.
You do need them. And the way they were created, it was so thoughtfully made. And you know, when it comes to those sheet masks and under eye patches, they really are wasteful. And it's such a smart solution that's still effective and aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
And I mean, at that point, you really kind of have no excuse because it's like, if anything, this is a smarter choice to make for like a myriad of reasons, especially being that like, you don't run out of your patches where you open your fridge or your whatever and you're like, oh shit, I ran out of under eye patches.
It happens to me all the time.
Right. And it's like...
And Ben, now my man is on them too. He's like, hey, I need some under eye patches. I'm like, you're going to put me out of house and home. These aren't cheap, motherfucker.
They're not cheap. And that's why I'm like, you buy it once. I think they say you could use it every day for up to a year, which I mean, I'll be honest.
Damn.
If you're putting on under eye patches every day, like, I salute you. I would love to, but I forget. And
yeah.
But when I do put them on, I do notice a difference. I'm genuinely not even just saying that because they're my friends. Like, I had a photo shoot the other day and my under eyes looked really dark because it's election week. So, you know, not really sleeping too much. Also, maybe some crying. Who could say? But I put them on and I took them off and I was like, my under eyes look brighter. Like, they objectively look brighter.
Fuck, you're going to devastate me financially, Nora. I literally am buying everything you're telling me.
I'm telling you, I'm a passionate person. I'm Palestinian. I can't help it. It's innate.
That's wonderful. I mean, you know, you listen to Nashville. I'm the same.
That's why I love your podcast, Jackie, because I know you're not fucking lying. When you say you love something, I can believe you. Could be the passion. But also, I just know that if you don't like something, you'll say that you don't like it. And
right.
I only trust people who do that. And it's unfortunate that other influencers give everyone else a bad rep because they're assholes. And it's just like,
yeah,
come on, man. Don't make it. Don't make us all look bad.
I understand the pressure because I've turned down some pretty lucrative deals.
Right.
By either I didn't like the brand or they didn't, you know, align with my values. Oh my God. I just had this woman send me a product. And she was so excited to send it to me. And I was like, oh, this sounds awesome. And I hated it. And she emailed me back and was like, what'd you think? And I had to tell her and she never wrote me back.
Well, I just think that's actually bad business because I'm sure you weren't like, your product fucking sucks. Like, I'm sure it was like constructive criticism.
It's not what I expected. Right, it's not, you know, and I said to her, I go, this packaging is excessive. I think it's wasteful.
Right.
And she didn't like to hear that. I mean, literally didn't respond to me.
That makes me sad. And I will say, I also take it upon myself to tell brands stuff like that because I would hope that they would value our feedback because essentially, aren't we your guinea pigs? Is that not what's happening right now?
I've sent many an email saying, I'm not working with you till you expand your shade range. I've sent that email more than I've probably sent anything. And
absolutely.
Most of the time they're like, I know. And I'm like, if you know, then fix it. Like,
well, that's why I respect Westman Atelier because I remember them telling me when we had, I had a conversation with them, and then they said, we're going to come out with a new shade range. And then they follow through. And not only that, they took it upon themselves to contact me specifically to let me know, we really appreciate that feedback. We have extended our shade range. We also, they told me some other stuff, which I can't share, but they're also planning on doing more to be more accessible for all different types of skin tones. And I have so much respect for a brand that listens to feedback, and not only that, but to go as far as to like follow through with letting me know, which they don't need to know. I mean, I'm really pale. Like, you know what I mean? And it's, I just really respect brands who do that. And it is a good way to figure out who you want to work with and who you don't want to work with, because you should be picky about it. I mean, if you are telling people to buy something with their hard earned money, like, and that's why I'm super transparent about, like, I got sent this, but I would still repurchase it. Or I got sent this and it's nice and I enjoyed it, but I probably wouldn't spend my own money on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because I just think that we are essentially marketing to women primarily. Yes. And women, you know, are getting fucked in a lot of ways. I don't want to be adding to that. Yes. I don't want to be contributing.
I want women to be empowered. Right. I want women to have money in their account.
Mm-hmm. And make smart purchases.
Yes.
And not buy things just because, you know, just because someone said, oh, I love it, and they actually fucking hate it. Like, no, no.
I just did a bunch of snaps in case somebody heard that and didn't realize what that sound was. I think I'm going to spend at least $1,500 because I have to get the dress, right? I have to get the heart dress.
Obviously, now you're getting the dress. Okay.
I have to get the retinol reform.
You really do. Like,
and the Tata Harper mask.
Oh my God, it's so good.
And I have to get those it's D-I-E-U-X skin, reusable under eye patches. Mm-hmm. I have to get them.
You do.
I've wanted all these things. Like, I'm pretty chill. I don't buy a lot these days.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is my birthday coming up.
Hey, it's your birthday coming up. Even more of an excuse. And I don't really buy myself stuff either. So when I want something, I let myself get it. Because you're responsible, Jackie. I could tell that you're being responsible.
I've already spent way too much on my birthday. Because I'm getting this face laser thing done that was way too much. But it's wedding shit. This is what happens.
Right.
Weddings fuck you up because you're like, I want to spend, I want to look good. And you like really do it up.
Well, yeah. I mean, everyone's going to, you know, there's going to be photos forever of this. Like, you want to look back at them and be like, I look really good, and not like, fuck, like, you know.
Well, you know, this is marriage number two.
Hey.
Let me tell you something. I looked fucking great in my first wedding. Like, tragically good. So I have to at least look as good as that.
For
so
sure.
Like, it's 4 years later. I'm like trying to get this all looking good. So I'm excited. Listen, I'll
retinol
let y'all
reform.
Know when I'm done.
I feel like that is a product that will translate.
Okay.
Like, there's a lot of products you use. You don't see a difference. This is the type of product you will actually notice a difference in the way your skin looks and feels.
Yeah. That's what Darcy said too.
Mm-hmm. And it's just like, if you're going to splurge on one thing, I think it's like $80-something. If you're going to buy one thing, let it be that, because it's so effective that it's like, it's so worth it to me that, I mean, I can tell a difference in my skin. I'm not using it right now because I don't have the new bottle, and I'm trying to make like a bootleg version of it where I'm mixing a lactic acid that I have with a retinol that I have to try to mimic the effect. And it's doing okay, but it's not the same thing.
Well, it's a specific kind of retinol. I just had on, this episode hasn't come out yet as we record, but the two people that own the beauty incubator that developed Shani Darden's line.
Mm-hmm.
And we just specifically talked about that product. And he was talking about the kind of retinol it is. And like the percentage is super high for like a commercial product. Like, just sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
You've sold me. I've already been sold on it, but that's official.
I'm just here to reinforce everything that's on your shopping list.
Yep. It's done. It's happening. I'm just, you know what? Who needs savings?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who needs savings? We don't know what's going to happen. Don't know who our fucking president is as we're recording this.
It's so crazy to me that we don't know. And also, I felt hopeful today. And then that scared me. I was like, oh no, don't feel hopeful. You'll jinx it, Noor. Just really batshit crazy behavior.
Yeah. I mean, this will come out in a couple weeks. So hopefully we might know by then. But I'm waiting for Ben to walk in any minute and be like, hey, we got Pennsylvania. But I don't know because we don't know.
I saw your stories of him giving his little analysis and everything.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. How handy. Because no one knows what the fuck is going on.
I live with a pundit. Super handy. He cleans like a professional cleaner, and he knows everything going on in our country. So
you should
not bad.
Absolutely marry him. Like, you know what?
Let's hope it all. Get this facial. Get the Shani Darden.
Yeah, yeah.
Nor, do you have any other self-care rituals that are specific to you? We're all about the self-care on Natch Butte.
I am a very, like, weirdly routine-based person, almost like a robot. And I feel like that is really important for my self-care, is having a nighttime routine. And it's very specific. I've had friends follow it and tell me that their quality of sleep has improved. So I'll tell you what it is.
Please.
I make myself a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. While the tea is steeping, I will take a shower. Okay. Get out of the shower.
What kind of tea? Don't leave out any details.
I'll mix it up when it comes to tea. I like a ginger tea.
Okay.
I like a green tea. Mm-hmm. I like I mean, English is my first language, but now I'm going to make it seem like it's not. I'm trying to think of how you say it in English. It's za'atar, so I think it's thyme or thyme. Thyme tea. Is it thyme or thyme?
Thyme, but who cares?
Okay. Well, anyways, in Arabic, it's za'atar, so I have that za'atar tea. So I'll have one of those teas, and I like it kind of strong, so I like to let it sit for like 15 to 20 minutes, and I'll take a quick body shower. I'll do my skincare routine. I'll sit on my couch. I'll drink my tea. I'll either, you know, read something, watch something, just to kind of really zone out. And then as soon as I'm done with my tea, I'm brushing my teeth, doing all of that stuff, and I go right to bed. I do that every night, no matter where I am. If I'm on vacation with my friends, they think it's hilarious. No matter what I do, I always have that kind of those steps, and they're easy and you can do them anywhere you are.
I love that. And it's also, it kind of trains your brain to like go to sleep.
Yes, absolutely.
Because once you get the tea, your brain starts going, okay, I'm in a rhythm. I know how this works.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I love that.
I'm like an adult baby. I'm sleep training myself.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We need that though.
Yeah.
We need to be sleep trained.
Yeah, we do. We really do. I mean,
yeah.
When AIM was around, I was on AIM chat rooms until 4 a.m. Those were bad sleep habits that I had when I was a teenager. And it was really hard to get past that.
What was your screen name?
Oh my God. I had so many. I mean, the first one was Ziftine, which my brother made for me, and it translates from Arabic to English as piece of crap. So that was a fun one for my brother to make for me. And then it was like XO Eminem Chick. I was a huge fan of Eminem when I was a kid. XO Eminem Chick or something. XO, you know, one of those. And then there was the TBS, like Taking Back Sunday and like Thursday. Like I just put all my band names together to make a screen name. There was a lot of different screen names.
I feel like we might be beshert, which is a Yiddish word for soulmates. I really can't handle this. Like, I used to be obsessed with Eminem. I know every word to Slim Shady LP and Marshall Mathers LP. Every word.
Same. I wish I could fill my brain with literally anything else.
Same.
It's so, like, verbatim. I just know
it. It's deeply ingrained into my psyche.
I feel like I brainwashed myself almost, because, like, even I have not listened to Eminem in maybe a decade. And you could put on a song from the Eminem show, and I will know every single word.
So you're more, because Eminem show, I had it, but I never like super, super got into it. It was all about Slim Shady LP and Marshall Mathers LP for me.
I did love them, but also the Eminem show was really at the peak, I think, of my obsession with Eminem. That album came out.
This is where our four-year difference makes a big difference.
Because
Slim Shady LP came out when I was 13, and it literally blew my mind. I was sitting in my room listening to it on my boombox, going like this. Yeah. I mean, my mouth was agape, for those of you who can't see me. It was wild. However, Eminem is a little problematic.
He is.
The lyrics they did not hold up. They are very hateful.
And that's why I'm like, I need to remove this from my brain. This is horrible. Like, you know the song Kim?
Yeah.
My favorite song, 12-year-old Noor would proudly go around. My favorite song is Kim by Eminem. Deeply disturbing. Again, parents, where the fuck are you? Why are you letting me listen to this?
Well, my dad, oh my God. I remember I had a 6-disc changer in my first car.
So cool.
And the Slim Shady LP, and then the Marshall Mathers LP, it starts out, brought to you by Slim Shady. And it goes, Slim Shady does not give a fuck about who you are. If you don't like it, you can suck his fucking cock. My father got in my car and that CD started, and he got out of the car. He was just moving my car out of the driveway. Went inside. He's like, Jackie, what are you listening to? What is this filth?
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what to say. Like,
I don't know what to tell you. Sorry.
I know. You know, that's one of those parents just don't understand things. It's really...
Oh, yeah.
It's aggressive. It's really aggressive.
It's super aggressive. And my parents had me. I was definitely 100% an accident. They'll tell you. I'll tell you. Everyone will tell you. My mom had me when she was 40 or 41. I'm number six.
Yeah.
I had the chillest version of my parents.
Hell yeah.
My parents... I think preferred when I listened to Eminem versus the rock music because I was very into screamo,
yeah.
Which my dad fondly referred to as demon worshipping music.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he would tell me over and over, there's no way this is in English. I'm like, Dad, it's in English. And he's like, yeah. There's just no way this is English. Like, what are they saying? I'm like, Dad, it's screamo.
It's their own language. Yeah, it's screamo.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. You could hear it. Come on. You don't hear it. And I'll be like, yeah. He's saying that he's bleeding internally. And my dad's like, no, I don't hear that. So he actually preferred Eminem. I don't think Eminem rapped so quickly.
Right.
So, you know, and my dad's an immigrant. I mean, he speaks English, but I mean, it was too fast for him to keep it. So he preferred, I think, Eminem hilariously. I'm going to play him an Eminem song next time I see him. Be like, Dad, is this what you want?
That makes sense because if you couldn't fully understand him, it wouldn't come off as horrible as it is. I mean, it was very misogynistic and violent and homophobic and
super homophobic.
Bad, bad, bad.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm like, how did I not turn out to be a fucked up person listening to that music?
Well, that's because, as we were talking about at the beginning, to tie this all around, mm-hmm. we are all works in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we just are presented with information and then we're allowed to change our views and evolve. And that's what's happened. Like, I had to reprogram, and since we're similar ages, like,
yeah.
the programming and messaging that we as women received
mm-hmm.
in that time period is so horrible. It's really bad.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah, and so we've had to work our whole adult lives and sort of reprogramming that and processing it, and now we can see it for what it was.
100%, and I'm really grateful that when I was younger, I didn't listen to music because I felt like the lyrics necessarily like spoke to me, which
same.
I will say now, like if a song doesn't relate to me in any way, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Why am I listening? Because this has nothing to do with me. I am not, you know, at the club, you know, throwing bands or whatever. Like, that's not what I'm doing. I'm maybe, you know, cleaning. So, you know, Miskies may be a better option for me. But I think that,
Look out for Sia's new song, Sanitizing Doorknobs, coming out.
I would fucking love that. Jesus, I would love that so much. I just feel like I didn't internalize it, which I'm really glad that
same.
I didn't. Like, I just kind of took it at face value and didn't.
It was performative for me. Like, I would rap Eminem and, like, think I was cool, but I didn't, like,
I thought I was
take
be
the
a
words
rapper.
To heart. Oh, yeah.
I wasn't good, but I thought I was like, you know, Eminem's a rapper. I'm a little 14-year-old hijabi girl. Maybe I, too, can be a rapper.
Yes, 100% you could.
I would write raps or about how much I hated my sister, and then I would rap them to her. And so that there was that. She said that it wasn't as bad as I think it was, but I'm pretty sure it was pretty fucking bad. But yeah, that's what I would do in my spare time. Just write rap lyrics about how unfair my sister was and how she wouldn't let me borrow her shoes because she was a fucking bitch. So
listen, I'm sure you're aware of this, but you need to write all this down. This needs to be a book and this needs to be a show. Like, I'm so entertained by just like the little anecdotes you've shared about
your
childhood.
I'm like a little monkey. I'm telling you, I am a little monkey who just does little entertaining things. It's funny. I have a live journal account. Did you have a live journal?
Oh, of course I did. I had a Zanga.
Yes. I still have access to my live journal, which is good, but also bad because, you know, I look back at these journal entries that I wrote when I was a teenager and I do want to slap myself because it's like, life is so hard. I can't go to the mall. Like, like everything sucks. No one understands me, which is very cringy, but I would write things down and I'm like, oh, how far you've come, Noor, you ridiculous human being.
I agree. I have all of mine. Thank God. I have all of them and they're so emo.
So
and
emo.
I literally had nothing wrong with my life.
Nothing.
I was a princess. I had no worries. I had everything I could ever need.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I look back at it. I'm like, you little entitled brat.
Yeah.
Like, I just would go on these rants about not being able to go to the mall. That was my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Like, my mom won't take me to the mall. Like, yeah, she's fucking tired. She works.
Yeah.
She's exhausted.
You're the sixth child.
And I'm the sixth child. Pipe down. You know, maybe. And I will say, I found so many ways to entertain myself, I think, because I was the youngest.
Yes.
And I think that all of those things shaped me. Because, again, when I like something, I'm super passionate. I got into music, but like in a very hardcore way. So like, you know, I think I said this, I'm a music elitist. I'll say it to anyone who listens. I think I have excellent taste in music. I yeah. think it's very eclectic. I will proudly tell you if I think your music sucks. but you know, I get really into things, fashion, music, skincare, everything. I want to know everything about it. And it brings me deep joy.
Well, you bring me deep joy. We've been talking for over an hour, so I must let you go. But you need to come back. We could talk for hours.
Well, we are going to, because we are going to come on my podcast. We will be talking for hours.
I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
We're going to record that next, and I'll let y'all know when that comes out. But Speaking of your podcast, again, perfect segue. I have here plugs. So tell us about your show, where we can find it, where we can find you. Everybody needs to follow you on Instagram, number one. Just tell us everything.
I'm on Instagram at Noree, N-O-O-R-E. I post a lot of pictures of myself in clothing and, you know, just random shit on my stories. And then my podcast is Arab American Psycho. It's like everywhere you can listen to podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, all the things. And it's just kind of, you know, conversations with all types of people. I think we, you know, there is an emphasis on speaking to Arab women, but also I talk to everyone. So it's a really cool place. It's very inclusive, and it's just real life conversations about what's going on and things that are relevant and people's journey to identity and all those things. And yeah.
And I'm about to record it, and we're going to have so much fun.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to have Jackie on. I literally can't wait.
Oh, honey, get ready. We've covered so much here. I mean,
chickens, retinol.
I mean, rooster toenail color. I mean, we got it all.
Emo, Eminem. I think
Taking Back Sunday.
Oh my God.
I should do that song. I just want to bring you down so badly.
You should. You've done a lot of covers that I'm like, I love Jackie so much. Like this
I've
is such
a good, lot of
such
emo-y
a good
pop punk.
And it's really spoke to my soul. And so Taking Back Sunday should definitely be on your list.
Okay, I'm going to do, I just want to cream my neck so badly. And I'm going to like do it. Like I'll put the track behind me and it'll be just for you, Noor.
Oh my God.
So
I love
get excited.
That so much.
That's coming.
Yes.
Thank you again for coming on, Noor. I will see you on your podcast.
Yeah.
And everybody listening, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for choosing Natribute today. You know, I'm only as successful as the honeys that tune in. So thank you to the honeys. Thank you to Noor for being a honey. And you deserve to be happy. Yeah, I'm talking to you. And don't forget to cream that neck and keep your fringe fresh. Noor, do you cream your neck?
1000% cream your neck. Don't put retinol on your neck, though.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but cream it.
Good for the tips. Good for the tips.